Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. There among the Brahmanas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Kurma Purana, wherein is mentioned the chaste woman's narration. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur remarks that only two khandas of the Kurma Purana are now available, namely the Purva Khanda and Uttara Khanda. Sometimes it is said that the Kurma Purana contains 6,000 verses, but according to Srimad Bhagavatam, the original, the Kurma Purana, contains 17,000 verses. It is considered the 15th of the 18 Mahapuranas. Viprasabhaya shunitahan Kurma Purana Taramajyaila pativrata upakyana. There among the Brahmanas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Kurma Purana, wherein is mentioned the chaste woman's narration. Om Ajnanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vande Hong Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangs Cha Shri Rupang Sagra Jatang Sahagana Raganathan Vitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savidutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vikangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brindavanishvare Vrishabhanu Sute Deve Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I seek the blessings of everyone assembled here. Please give me the power of speech so I can say something relevant, especially to Maharaj. Lovely class you gave yesterday. I feel honored that you're present. So it's quite a short purport. The background is that there's a Brahmana who's a devotee of Lord Ram, and he's very hurt by a particular pastime in Ramayana of Ravana kidnapping Sita. So interesting, the difference between a materialist and a devotee. So for a materialist is very hurt if someone kidnaps his wife, right? That's the focus. But this devotee is like, who feels the same hurt thinking about Lord Ramachandra's wife being kidnapped? When I read the Ramayana, it didn't occur to me to even feel hurt. I'm just enjoying the story, you know. But if you have deep love, then you know the divine couple, you want to keep that protected from Ravana. So the mood's there, you know. Svadu svadu pade pade. Yachunvatam rasagyanam svadu svadu pade pade. If we are soft-hearted, then reading the scriptures will move our hearts and we'll have a very deep emotional connection with the scripture. So this Brahmana, he's feeling this way, and we're going to then, in the subsequent verses, we will understand that actually Ravana did not touch Mother Sita, right? The fire god actually took away the real Sita and presented what's known as Maya Sita, The real Sita is known as Satchasita. Actually, my daughter's called Satchasita. And I like the name, it's nice. I like the name Satcha, and my wife likes the name Sita, so it worked well. But then there's the Maya Sita. Maya Sita is the illusory Sita, also known as Agni Sita. So it's really nice to know that Ravana did not touch the real Sita. As we know from the Brahma Samhita, Primanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, Santa Sadaiva Rida Yeshu Vilokayanti, Yam Shama Sundra Machincha Guna Svarupam, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That only those who are of this pure love, the pure prema in their hearts, only they can actually see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, by implication, only they can see Radharani, only they can see Sita Devi. You know the pastime when for the marriage of Rukmini, so Krishna comes, and then all these other kings, they're vying for supremacy, and it's said that they fell off their horses because they were stunned at the beauty of Rukmini. But if you actually study this pastime, you'll discover that they didn't actually see the real Rukmini, because how could a demon see the real Rukmini? They saw a illusory version, but even that was so beautiful that they still fell off their horses. So if Maya Devi can create a form that stuns the demons, then how much more beautiful is the consort, the goddesses of fortune? And there are innumerable, just as there are so many avatars of the Lord, there are so many consorts. Even Lord Krishna, millions of gopis he's dancing with, any one of them superior in beauty to this form of Rukmini that the demons saw, you see? So we shouldn't, you know, if we want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, we should remember that what's on stake, what's on offer is just beyond our imagination. The actual beauty, you know, beauty's what everyone looks for. Beauty's, of all the opulences of the Lord, right, beauty's the main one. And beauty, it's very proactive. You don't, like knowledge, to appreciate knowledge, in this world to appreciate knowledge, you have to work hard. But beauty, is that if it's there in front of you, you can immediately appreciate it. There's no cost, right? Beauty is very, it's aggressive almost. And if we consider what is the obstacle to devotional service, it is the beautiful things in this world. And they attack us. You know? Therefore, we must be very careful where we look, who we talk with, etc. Because we can become attached to things of this world. And so there's a competition. Our minds is a competition. Maeva mana adatsva. Krishna says, just simply think of Krishna. But is it that easy? There's a whole system of rules and regulations in order to control the senses, in order that we can actually fix our minds on the most beautiful object. But of course, it's not so easy. So we have to actually pay the price before the illusory energy removes the veil and we actually see. So for example, when we see the deities, we may see marble. But if we become advanced, we actually see the Satya, the form of the Lord, in all their beauty, the divine couple, like you see like that. So it's interesting, what is the essence of this chapter? The previous chapter, it was all about the conversation between Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Roy. This chapter is all about propagating the right philosophy, if you look at it. The first verse of this chapter, I've said this before, but the way that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami compiles the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he has a Sanskrit verse near the very beginning of each chapter, which is sort of summary of the most important feature of that chapter. And in this particular chapter, does anyone know what that verse is? What it's about? It's an analogy. If we go to the eighth canto, we have the story of Gajendra. So Gajendra the elephant is under the grip of the crocodile, and then Lord Vishnu comes with his Sudarshan Chakra and cuts off the crocodile's head, and Gajendra is liberated. So by analogy, this is how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains it. He says, the inhabitants of South India were like elephants. They were strong like elephants, but they were under the grips of the crocodile-like philosophies, false philosophies like Buddhism, atheistic philosophies. But then with the disc of mercy, the phrase uses kriparina, which means the disc of mercy, Lord Chaitanya delivered them. So it's interesting how delivering It's often the analogy is used as warfare, you see. For example, the famous verse from the 11th canto, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam, Sangha Pangastra Parshadam, Yagya Sankirtana Praya, Yajanti Hi Sumeda Saha. In the age of Kali, those who are intelligent, they worship Lord Chaitanya with the Sankirtan Yagya, chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if you're feeling low on yourself, if you have low self-esteem, don't worry, you're very intelligent because you're chanting Hare Krishna. So this verse, it said, Sango Pangastra Parshadam. Anga means intimate associate. Upanga, servitor. Astra, weapon. Parshadam, intimate companion. That's how it's translated. So it's interesting that the word astra is used. I mentioned Kripa Arina. Ari means disc. So mercy, the Lord Chaitanya's mercy is compared to a disc. It's like a weapon because it can kill the demonic spirit. So what is the astra in this verse from the 11th canto? Astra. I've seen three things written on this in the writings of Srila Prabhupada and Jiva Goswami. Anyone know? What is meant by the weapon? What weapon did Lord Chaitanya bring? The holy name. That is one of the answers. Thank you very much. Gold star for you. Prabhu. His beauty, yes. And who said that? Thank you very much. Jiva Goswami said that beauty in the Sandarbhas, he said that Lord Chaitanya's beauty is his weapon. I mentioned before, beauty is aggressive. You know, someone doesn't want to be delivered. If they're stunningly beautiful, doesn't matter. You're going to listen to them anyway, right? So Lord Chaitanya's beauty captivated everyone. So whatever philosophy they were attached to, whatever, let's say, whatever bhav they got from it, everything's got a bhav to it. Now, you look at modern scientists. Some of them, they believe that there's nothing beyond matter. They like this thing about, there's this philosophy, scientism, which means if you can't prove it, then it can't be true. You can't accept anything as true that you can't prove. It's a terrible philosophy, because how do you prove that premise? How would you prove that only things that you can prove scientifically are real, and there's nothing that is exists that you cannot prove? How would you prove that in a laboratory? You can't. So it's a self-defeating philosophy. But this is scientism. So people are attached to so many things. But if you meet someone who changes your heart, then you will listen to them. So beauty is the second answer. And any other answers? The astra? Who is the astra? There's a clue. Sudarshan Chakra? Lord Chaitanya? Did he come with his Sudarshan Chakra? He brought it out. He was going to kill Jayan Vijaya. Jagai Madai, yeah. But maybe that is an answer. He's got one, of course. I was thinking, actually, Prabhupada said the associates, the companions, how are they astras? Because they're going around spreading the holy name. Whoever's spreading the holy name, they're like a soldier. So Lord Chaitanya's weapons is his associates. So we're still in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. It's going on. We're in the UK, and we've built the Haveli. We're building so many temples all over UK. This is part of Lord Chaitanya's pastime. It's going on 530 odd years later. So we can be part of the Lila of Lord Chaitanya. We can be the astra. Sounds like a good idea, right? Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, Nimitta Matra Bhava Savi Sachin. Just become an instrument. And that's all we have to do. We have to decide not to get in the way, not to let our egos get in the way, not to let our own ideas get in the way. Just follow the acharyas, which means have good sadhana, then we become empowered, then we can preach and spread Krishna consciousness. And if we just do that, then we can be a little part of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. We can be the astra, be one of the astras, and be one of the weapons and help spread Krishna consciousness. So the Kurma Purana is mentioned in the purport. And also, Prabhupada explains that according to Srimad Bhagavatam, the original Kurma Purana contains 17,000 verses. So let me try and find that. There's a verse in the 12th canto. I'll read it out to you. So if you ever wanted to know what are the 18 major Puranas, there's a list. There's one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, it's several verses, but it's one translation that's got all the 18 major Puranas with the number of verses in each. Just out of curiosity, does anyone know which Purana has the most of the 18? the most number of verses. It's actually the Skanda Purana. We'll come to it. The Padma Purana's got a lot of verses as well. Anyway, here's the verse. Here are the verses. The Brahma Purana consists of 10,000 verses. That's quite small. The Padma Purana, 55,000. Sri Vishnu Purana, 23,000. Shiva Purana, 24,000. The Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000. The Nara Purana has 25,000. The Markandeya Purana, 9,000. The Agni Purana, 15,400. The Bhavishya Purana, 14,500. The Brahma Vaivarta Purana, 18,000. And the Linga Purana, 11,000. The Varaha Purana contains 24,000 verses. The Skanda Purana, 81,100. The Vamana Purana, 10,000. The Kurma Purana, 17,000. The Matsya Purana, 14,000. The Garuda Purana, 19,000. And the Brahmanda Purana, 12,000. Thus, the total number of verses in all the Puranas is 1,400,000. 18,000 of these once again belong to the beautiful Bhagavatam. Srimad. Srimad means beautiful. The Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, of those 18,000, they can be classified. I'll explain it. There's actually a Back to God Head article where it's explained the status of those puranas. Six are sattvika puranas for persons in the mode of goodness. Now, we are more familiar with those ones. Can anyone name any puranas in the mode of goodness? Anyone know the answer to this? Garuda Purana. Yes, Garuda Purana. Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the most obvious one. Padma Purana. Vishnu Purana. Yes, we're getting there. Okay, I'll read them. Is it Padma? Yes, yeah, there. I'll read them out. Is the Matsya there? No, actually, it's Rajasic. Anyway, I'll give you the answers. The six Sattvika Puranas are the Bhagavat Purana, of course, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishnu Purana. Now, Prabhupada quotes the Vishnu Purana a lot in his books. Naradiya Purana, Garuda Purana, Padma Purana, a lot of verses from the Padma Purana in Prabhupada's purports, and Varaha Purana. Then the six Rajasic ones. Now, in today's purport, Kurma Purana is mentioned. That's one of them. The Matsya Purana, the Kurma Purana, the Linga Purana, the Shiva Purana, Skanda Purana, and Agni Purana. So it's interesting that the Kurma Purana, it's... although it's Rajasic, it's got lovely instructions. We have the story of how Sita was not actually kidnapped by Ravana. Anyone know any other instances where the Kurma Purana appears in our literature? How about there's this Bengali poet. He thought he was the bee's knees, and he had this nice poetry, he thought. And a lot of the associates of Lord Chaitanya were quite impressed, and then they wanted to present this to Lord Chaitanya. But you couldn't present anything to Lord Chaitanya. You had to go through Swarup Damodar. He was the filter. He would make sure that nothing offended Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. So after a lot of persuasion, he finally agreed to listen to what this Bengali poet had to say. And he started reciting his poetry. And then Swarup Damodar cut to pieces his philosophy. And he said, Deha Dehi Vibhagoyam Neshvari Vijate Kvachit. For the Supreme Lord, there is no difference between the body and the possessor of the body. That's the difference between us and the Supreme Lord. It said in the first canto, Yaya Samoita Jiva Atmaram Trigunatmakam Paropi Manatinatam Tadkritam Chabi Pajate. This material body is a creation of Maya, and due to the illusory energy, we think it is us. Atmakam means we think the body is us. It's the biggest obstacle to devotional life because it's the first thing that we have to overcome if we want to enter spiritual life. One of Prabhupada's books begins like that way. I can't remember which one it is. Maybe it's On the Way to Krishna. I was actually stunned when I read it, and I've never forgotten this statement. We have to understand we're not the body. We have to realize we're not the body to begin our spiritual life. Now, if that's not sobering, then what is? No, you think you're advanced, and are we off the body platform? If we're not, then we're actually not even able to enter into spiritual life proper. So there's a sobering thought for everyone. But for the Lord, there's no difference. So that verse, Deha Dehi, Deha means the body, and Dehi means the possessor. That verse, Deha Dehi Vibhagoyam Neshvari Vijate Kvachit, comes from the Kurma Purana. So it's worth noticing that even though the Purana is for those in the mode of Rajagun, there's still beautiful instructions in the Kurma Purana. So we should always respect the Puranas. Now, Jiva Goswami gives a lovely analogy to show that the status of the Puranas is very elevated. He gives the example of either it's a bracelet or a necklace, I forget which. He said, if you've got a gold necklace and there's bits missing, how do you fill in the missing bits? You fill in the missing bits with gold, not with iron, right? You wouldn't use iron to repair a gold necklace. Now, the Puranas, now the word Purna means complete. Puranas, they complete the Vedas. So if you're going to complete the Vedas, what you complete it with must be of the same nature as the Vedas themselves. So because the Vedas are transcendental literature, therefore the Puranas are on the equal status. And of course we know Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam, Lord Chaitanya, he's accepted the Srimad Bhagavatam as the ultimate proof. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Yes, so by this analogy, we understand that because the Puranas fill out parts that aren't properly explained in the Vedas, they are on the same level as the Vedas. Therefore, it said, Veda Narayana Shakshad. The Vedas are directly Narayan. Therefore, the Puranas are also directly Narayan. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's one of his teachings is to glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a famous verse, you know, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, he used to come here a lot. He used to stay for several months. It was really wonderful. And there's a verse he would always quote when he was given the Mangala Charana, but then no one would recite it with him. And after about a few months or so, he just stopped reciting it. You remember this verse? If you know it, please help me with it. Arajo Bhagavam Brajesha Tanayas Tadama Brindavanam Ramya Kacha Dupasana Brajabadu Vargena Yakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradara Na Paraha. It's wonderful, in a nutshell, explains the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So the first teaching is Arajo Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas Tadama Brindavanam, that Bhagavan, who is Brajesh, means he's Krishna from Brindavan, he is worshipable, and just as he is the ultimate object of our worship, so is Tadama Brindavanam, the abode of the Lord. So it's actually offensive to think the abode of the Lord to be less than the Lord himself. Krishna and Brindavan, we should understand that they are one and the same. They're transcendental. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's holy dham. Ramya Kacha Dupasana Brajabadu Vargena Yakalpita means the ultimate example of devotion to Krishna that we aspire for is the love of the gopis for Krishna. That's the highest form of worship. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. There's another verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where it says Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. It is the pure Purana. It's also the pure or topmost evidence, Pramanam Amalam. And then Prema Pumarto Mahan. That's easy. What does that mean? Prema Pumarto Mahan. Say again. Topmost subject. Arta means the goal, yeah. Puma, the goal for all mankind is prema. Prema. Yes. And then the last line, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matam Tatradara Naparaha. I take these statements very, very seriously because this is the considered opinion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see. So we should always bear this in mind. So I was discussing the mood of this chapter. I was mentioning how it's mainly about Lord Chaitanya converting. So he converted the Buddhists. That's quite a humorous pastime. It's actually quite an evil pastime almost. The Buddhists tried to poison Lord Chaitanya. Imagine trying to poison the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What a terrible thing to do. They said, here is some prasadam. Oh, terrible. So they gave him poisoned food and said, this is prasadam. Of course, Not a blade of grass moves without the will of Krishna. So just at that time, a bird comes and picks up the plate of so-called prasadam and drops it on the head of the head Buddhist, who then falls unconscious and he's got a cut on his head. And then Lord Chaitanya says, you chant Hare Krishna to this, your leader. So all the Buddhists, they started chanting Hare Krishna and he regained consciousness. So that's a kind of amusing and funny pastime. He converted the Shaivites just by visiting Shaivite temples and they became converted. Now, how does Lord Chaitanya interact with the Ram Bhaktas? There's two different ways. This pastime, what he's doing is he's reinforcing this devotee's devotion to Lord Ram by helping him better understand the Ramayana. Because he's already met the Brahmana. Then on his travels, he gets this information from the Kurma Prana, and then he can then give this information to the Brahmana. The Brahmana is very happy to know that Sita is her, she's not being touched, you know. The Vedic culture is so strict that if someone touches a woman before she's married, then no one will marry her. That was the standard. We have this example with Bhishma and Shikhandi, the whole pastime. Anyway, we go into Amba. Amba was kidnapped and no one wanted to marry her. So then she cursed because she'd been touched by Bhishma. She then took birth as Shikhandi, who was in a woman. Bhishma had the vow that he would never, you know, fight with a woman. So then by coming as Shikhandi, it meant that Bhishma was restricted and therefore Arjuna was able to fire his arrows into Bhishma, right? It's a wonderful pastime. The only way you could kill Bhishma, he was the greatest warrior. So that was the standard, you know. I once asked this to one sannyasi, why are we so careful with chastity of women? And he said, you know, feminine nature is like a flower. Flower is very delicate. So I thought it was a nice answer, you know. Delicate nature of woman's nature, therefore it's nice that the chastity is kept. So as I was explaining, for the Ram Bhaktas, sometimes he would reinforce their devotion for Lord Ram. We have Murari Gupta, Anupam, their devotees of Lord Ram. And in the past times, you know, there's an attempt to convert Anupam by Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, but his devotion for Lord Ram was so strong that they ended up, they kind of were enjoying, vicariously enjoying Anupam's loving devotion for Lord Ram and think this is wonderful how he's so attached to Lord Ram that we can't change him into a Krishna Bhakta. But earlier on in this particular chapter, there is another pastime of a different Ram Bhakta who for his entire life was chanting the name of Ram in great ecstasy. And just by a few moments association, a little bit of association with Lord Chaitanya, he starts chanting the name of Krishna. So then Lord Chaitanya, he's on his travel, he comes back and he asks him, why are you chanting the name of Krishna now? You know, and he explains, the name of Krishna, it's on my lips, I can't but help chant it. And this is real chanting. Real chanting means that it comes from within. It's like the descent of the devotional energy and you become an instrument. And then you're chanting, and you can't stop yourself chanting. It's just happening automatically. An example may be given: if you've got a car, the engine's not working. One way to do is to give it a push start, roll it down a hill, and then you try and get the engine to work. Try turning on the ignition, and then if you're lucky, suddenly the engine goes into proper mode. So chanting is like that. Our chanting, we do it maybe mechanically. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to do it with love and devotion, but we have the sadhana. The sadhana is meant to kind of get things started. And then after a while, Raganuga Bhakti kicks in and we're naturally attached to the process and then we practice our devotional service spontaneously. So that's the idea. So Lord Chaitanya, he's, for some Ram Bhaktas, he's elevating them. For others, he's reinforcing their love for Lord Ram. And one of the main pastimes in this particular chapter is the story of Vyankata Bhat hosting Lord Chaitanya through Chaturmasya. So Vyankata Bhat, he's a devotee of Narayan. And then there's a famous verse, Siddhanta Tas Tvabedi Shri, Shri Sha Krishna Swarupayo, Rasenot Krishna Te Krishna, Rupamesha Rasasti Dihi. that according to Siddhanta, Narayan and Krishna are one. But from the perspective of rasa, it's different. Krishna's on a higher level. So, Venkatabhat, he converts. He's one of the... See, he's not like Anupam. Anupam, he couldn't be converted. But Venkatabhat, he converts to becoming a devotee of Krishna because he understands rasenot Krishna te, Krishna rupamesha rasasti dehi. That the rasa with Krishna is even higher than with Narayan. Now, if we go to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's a list of 64 qualities of Krishna. And it's said that 60 of those qualities are Lord Narayan possesses 64 of those qualities. But there's 4 extra qualities that only Krishna possesses. So who can see what they are? Sometimes get this, people... I think most of you know the answer. Can anyone give some? Lila Purushottam. So his Lila is particularly special. Now it said, Sarva Buddha Chamatkara, Lila Kalola Varidi. That Krishna's Lila is like an ocean of waves, which is Sarva Buddha Chamatkara. It is, Adbhuta means wonderful, and Chamatkara means astonishing. So there's, and it's all astonishing, all wonderful. If we can actually properly enter into Krishna's Lila, then it's just, we can't imagine how it will affect us. It's all wonderful, all beautiful, and it's just like an ocean. So it's an ocean of Lila. What other qualities does Krishna have? Venu Purushottam. Venu Madhuri. Sometimes it's what it said. Or Madhurya. Is sweetness. Yes, so it's... Trigan Jagan Manasa Karsha Murali Kala Kujita. His flute playing, which is the word Murali, he's got different flutes, one of them's called Murali, is Madhura, so sweet. And it Tri Jagan Manasa Karsha means it attracts the mind of the three worlds. So as soon as Krishna plays his flute, that's it. People just go to pieces if you're that fortunate to hear it. So there's an interesting, we were talking about Jiva Goswami. So in the Krishna Sandarbha, there's a beautiful elaboration of the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the first verse, it said, Tejo Vari Madam Yatavinamayo Yatrati Sargom Risha. That the normal meaning is, this world is illusory, therefore a fire can appear as water, or land can appear as fire, etc., etc. Things are in flux. So it's all illusory. That's the kind of general meaning. But then Jiva Goswami gives wonderful other meanings. And one of them is, when Krishna plays his flute, then rocks melt. So that's mrida means earth, and vari means water. So tejo vari mridam, vinimaya, means there's a transformation of rock into liquid. Or like the lake, the rivers, they sort of freeze up. They become like stone. So water becomes like rock. So all these transformations are going in the spiritual world, all because we're hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. So this is one of the esoteric meanings of the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's other beautiful meanings. Another one is, it refers to the ashtasattvika bhavs, because being stunned is when the earth element interacts with the life airs for the premi bhakta. When the fire element interacts, there's perspiration. And then when the water element interacts, there's tears. So Tejavari Madam refers to the Ashtasattvika bhavs. Like we chant in the morning, Gurvastikam, we have Romansha Kampa Shrutaranga Bhajo. Romansha means the hairs on the body, you know, goosebumps. Kampa, shaking, ashru, taranga, flood of tears. They're all examples of the 8 what are known as sattvika bhavs. So Teja Varimidam Yatavinamaya, first verse of Bhagavatam, can actually be referring to prema or the ecstatic ecstasies, you see. That's why we should all read the Sandarbhas. Krishna Sandarbha is so wonderful, it's so much in depth. And the purpose of this Sandarbha is to establish Krishna's 2 Bhagavan Swayam, which is known as the Parabhasa Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam, means If you want to understand the real meaning of Bhagavatam, you have to understand it in the context of this particular verse, the Parabhasa Sutra. So yeah, so I was discussing, why did I get onto that? Tejavari Madam. Oh yes, thank you. We only did two of them. So what other Madhuri, what is the other one we had? Rupa Madhurya, yes. So it said, Asamanordva Rupa Shri Vishma Pitta Characharaha. The form of the Lord is Asamurdva, which means unrivaled. Sama means equal, Urdva means greater. There is no beauty greater than, and there is no beauty equal to Krishna. And Vishma Pitta Characharaha, it also stuns or astonishes all the living entities, both moving, chara, and achara, non-moving. And what's the fourth one? Prema Madhurya. Yeah, so it said, Atulya Prema Madhura Mandita Priya Mandalaha. Krishna, a mandalaha means like a circle. So I always think of this lovely picture. We have Krishna with his cowherd boyfriends eating the lunch just before Brahma steals them, right? And you see Krishna there laughing, and there's all these rows and rows of cowherd boyfriends, and they've all got these beautiful cute faces. They almost look the same as Krishna. And this is mandala, priya mandala, a circle of friends. Mandita means ornamented. So Krishna, Bhagavan, you know, lovely when Garuda Prabhu is here, he sometimes likes to break down the word Ishvara, and he says it's Isha means the controller, and Vara means a circle. So he makes the point that in order to be the controller, you have to have people to control. You know, Eko Bahusham. He said the Lord was one, but then he manifests himself as many. By having many, he gets to be the Lord. If he's by himself, he's just the Lord of himself. It doesn't quite work. So Ishvara means he's like the center. Krishna's the center, and Vara of the circle of control. So there's all these millions and millions of living entities, you know. Nitcho nityanam, chetanas chetanam, eko bahanam yova vidati kaman. That there is one eternal, there is one suprema consciousness, and all the others are minute. There's one supreme eternal, and this is from the Upanishads. Nitcho nityanam chetanas chetananam. We know this is, Prabhupada quotes this a lot. So these are the four qualities that Krishna particularly has. Now what are the five qualities? There's five qualities that Narayan has that even Lord Shiva doesn't have. A little bit harder. What are these mentioned? Anyone know? Aishwarya. I'm not going to give you that one. Anyone know? Five qualities that Narayan has that Lord Shiva doesn't have. Lord Shiva's got more than the Jivas. Jivas have got, how many is it? 50. And then if you add extra, you get Lord Brahma, 55. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Shiva, 55. But then 60 qualities. One of these, Avataravali Bij, which means he's the seed of all incarnations. So this is referring to Vishnu. It said that Kshirodakasha Vishnu, he is the source of all the avatars that come to this world. There are a few exceptions. Lord Chaitanya, he's Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna's Swayam Bhagavan. But generally, the avatars, they expand through Kshirodakasha Vishnu, who in turn comes from Garbhodaka Vishnu, who comes from Karanadakasha Vishnu, who comes from Shankarshan, Mula Shankarshan, so on like this. The Chaturvyuha, first and second, you've all read it. There's a whole sequence coming from Krishna to Balaram. But generally, the avatars we experience, we hopefully experience, the ones that come to this world, you know, they're coming through Kshirodakasha Vishnu. So he's known as Avataravali Bij. He's the seed of all incarnations. Koti Brahmanda Vigraha means he's the embodiment of infinite universes. Beautiful picture, you know, when Narayan breathes out, you know, this. Sometimes people say, you know, how is it possible universes coming from the pores of the body of the Lord? It sounds like fairy stories. But Prabhupada makes the point, you know, we sweat, you know, we can sweat, so why can't the Lord sweat, you know? Why can't universes come out from his sweat, you know? We are made in the image of Krishna. So whatever we find in our existence is there in some way, shape or form in the spiritual realm. Another example Prabhupada gives is, you know, we may say, well, we have this idea of a milk ocean. You know, that's fairy stories, right? But Prabhupada gives a nice analogy. He says, well, the cow produces salt water, urine, and also produces milk. And the word for cow is go. Now the word go also means earth. So if the cow go can have salt water and milk, then the earth go can have salt water and milk water. Just because we don't see it, you know, frog in the well philosophy, just because we experience only salt water doesn't mean there are other areas of this universe that we have no access to that can have milk. So we have the milk ocean. And also in this world, you know, we mentioned Kshirodaksha Vishnu, there's his abode is also in this world. There's the milk ocean in this world. Lord Brahma, when it comes to the descent of Lord Krishna, there's all the demons are causing trouble. And Lord Brahma and the demigods, they go to the milk ocean and then they pray to Kshirodaksha Vishnu, like this. So anything's possible. If no one had ever heard of a cow and didn't know anything about milk and say, well, is this animal that produces salt water and milk? You'd be like, nah, surely not. Surely, what's this milk? Is this white substance that you drink? It's a transformation of blood. We think things are normal because we're just used to it. So we read something that's out of our normal conception and we think that's unbelievable, right? Anyway, so these are examples. Koti Brahmanda Vigraha. Avachincha Mahashakti. He has potencies that even the jivas don't have. Now, it's said that when we attain perfection, we have so many mystic cities. Devotees, they don't care, you know. Salokya Sarsti Samipya Sarupya Katvam Apyuta Diyamanam Nagrinante Binamatsevanam Jana. There's this verse from the third canto explains that devotees, they don't care for opulences. So they can have the same form as a lord, live on the same planet, have the same opulences, so forth. Devotees don't care if it means they have to give up service. So for devotees, their whole mood is service. A devotee can be understood by their love for service, and service is everything, and they don't care for any of the opulences, you see. But the point is, all these opulences are available to devotees. But for Krishna, Avachincha Mahashakti, his shakti is even beyond that. It's just inconceivable to the next level. Like the example of Lord Brahma stealing the calves, he thought he was the great mystic. But then Krishna's maya is able to bewilder Brahma's maya. Brahma's thinking, I've got this, I'm the magician, I'll do my tricks. And then Krishna makes a fool out of Lord Brahma. So it's because Avachincha Mahashakti, he has a special potency. Another one is Hatari Gati Dayaka. He grants liberation to the demons that he kills. And Atmarama Ganakarshi, he attracts even the Atmaramas. So to be an Atmarama, there's different meanings for that. If you want to know the meanings, there's 61 meanings given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya is explaining them. The word Atma, who can say what Atma means? There were 7 meanings given to the word Atma when Lord Chaitanya was explaining it. Who can tell me what the word Atma means? Soul, yes. Self, mind. Body. There's a few unusual ones.
In relation to the point you were making, it also means that he's the most self-realized among all the self-realized.
Thank you. Out of the Atmaramas, he's the most. He attracts. It means fortitude. It means the senses. So when Mahaprabhu is explaining this verse, he's explaining the Atmarama verse from the first canto. He's explaining that even sense enjoyers, you know, they can worship Krishna and they get pleasure from that. You know, akama sarvakamama mokshakamo udaradi. Tivrena bhakti yogina yajeta purushang param. Doesn't matter what your position is. If you desire everything, if you desire liberation, if you're free from desire, everyone just worship Krishna. That is the best option. So Atmarama can mean one who's a sense gratifier, because Atma can mean the senses. It can mean someone who performs austerity, because Atma can mean fortitude, can mean self-control. It means one who takes pleasure in the mind, a mental speculator, or it means the devotee, of course. Atma means one who takes pleasure in Krishna, because Krishna is Paramatma. So the meaning of Atmarama has so many different meanings. But whatever it is, even if you are like completely above the modes of nature, and you've realized the jiva, or like jiva sukshma swarupayam, it said the jiva is very, very difficult to understand. And it said that the Shaivites, they're above the Shaktas. The Shaktas, they are absorbed in material energy, but the Shaivites, they come to the platform of jiva and they understand the soul. What does the Bhagavad Gita say about the soul? It's amazing. Some look upon the soul is amazing. Some hear of the soul is amazing. The soul is so amazing. It's sukshma. It said in jiva sukshma swarupayam, it's more subtle than the subtlest. And the Shaivites, they can enter into that and they get great joy from that. That's Atmarama of a type. But then if they come in contact with Vishnu, then immediately whatever they're attracted to, they forget that and they're just totally absorbed in Vishnu. So that's the power of Vishnu. That's what Atmarama Ganakarshi means, that Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan can actually distract people who are on that high level. Instead, if you want anything, and anything comes with a price, right? If we want to go beyond sense gratification. Now, the demigods, they're great sense enjoyers, but it's said that there's these higher planets, Tapaloka, Mahaloka, Satchaloka. And to be there, you have to be like brahmachari. You have to be beyond sex life altogether. Now, if you go to the heavenly planets, there's so much sex enjoyment going on. The demigods, when they're sober, what are they thinking? They're thinking, I want to come to planet Earth and take part in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. It's actually mentioned, they want to be part of the Varnashram system. It's mentioned in the fifth canto. There's about four or five verses describing how the demigods, they are desirous to come to this realm because we have this beautiful Varnashram. You see, Varnashram Dharma is a wonderful system and we can quickly become liberated. But above the demigods, you know, if you want to get the higher nectar, you have to go deeper. You have to give up the lower thing, sex life, you know. So Lord Chaitanya has made it very easy. Just chant Hare Krishna and he says, Patra Patra Vachara Nahi Nahistana Stana. There's no pre-qualification. But we shouldn't misunderstand this verse. That doesn't mean we can just do whatever we like. What it means is we have to now go into our hearts and do the surgery and say, I'm going to give up these material desires because they're blocking my path to devotional service. And if we don't want to do that, we're not actually earning the right to gain what is anarpita charinchirat kirunavatan kalau samarpitam unatoshvala rasam subhaktishriyam, which has not been given for a long, long time because it only comes once in the day of Brahma, which means there are 1,000 yugas, and in one of those 1,000 yugas, divya yugas, in only one of them does Lord Chaitanya give this madhurya ras. So we're in the best possible place, but we have to give up the lower thing, the sense gratification, like that. So I mentioned Varnashram. So one of the pastimes in this chapter is Lord Chaitanya delivers the Tattvavadis. So they're Vaishnavs, but they, when asked what is your sadhana, what is sadhana, they said Varnashram is their sadhana. And when asked by Lord Chaitanya what is the goal, they said Panchavida Mukti, 5 types of liberation. So I mentioned a verse from the third canto, Salokya, Sarsti, Samipya, these 5 types of liberation. They are not actually our goal. This is actually fruitive. Lord Chaitanya, it's funny that he actually converts them, as in they become astonished by him. What was his answer, by the way? When they said Varnashram's a sadhana, what was Lord Chaitanya's answer? He said, that's not our sadhana. What is our sadhana? He said, Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. But actually, he said the 9 processes. That is our sadhana. And when the Buddha, when the Tattvavadis said, I have Tattvavit here, Prabhu. As soon as I think of Tattvavadis, I think of Tattvavit, Prabhu. when the Tattvavadis, when they said, punch the 5 types of liberation is our goal, what did Lord Chaitanya said our goal is? Yes, prema. Prema is our goal. Our goal is love of Godhead. I mentioned it earlier, you see. So, Mahaprabhu, he was very cutting. He said, your sampradaya is mixed with jnana and karma. You see? If you want liberation, liberation is the goal of the jnanis. And varnashram, you know, to enjoy within the varnashram system, there's a bit of karma there, because varnashram is mixed in with our conditioned life. It's a divine system, but it's for people who are on the bodily platform. Then you find, okay, you are Kshatriya, you're Brahma, Vaishya, Sudra, you have a certain conditioning, therefore I'll give you a system that respects your conditioning. But ultimately, the highest process is to go beyond the body altogether and just engage in pure devotional service. Anyway, I've been talking a lot, so thank you all for your patience. And we have some time left. Normally, prasadam is served a little bit later on Saturday, so we have 15 minutes, and I hope you have some questions to ask or comments. Do we have the microphone? Someone got the microphone? Thank you, Prabhu. Tarun Prabhu.
You listed 18 Puranas and their grouping into modes.
Okay, yeah.
I don't remember Nrisingha Purana you mentioned anywhere.
Did I mention Nrisingha Purana?
It's not listed here.
Okay. Well, there's so many Puranas. There's 18 major, 18 minor ones. So I don't think that was mentioned. So it's not one of the major Puranas. On this topic, I used to think, I didn't like the phrase, these Puranas are in the mode of passion. I didn't like the phrase, but actually Prabhupada uses it. I saw a lecture where Prabhupada is talking about some Puranas are in the mode of, because Puranas are transcendental, so how could Puranas be in the mode? But actually, it's a figure of speech. It means there are four people in that mode. So if someone's in the mode of passion, they will be attracted to, say, the Kurma Purana. But as I mentioned, it's like there's some lovely verses there. But yeah, so there's so many Puranas. And there's so many Upanishads as well. There's one purport somewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where there's about 108 Upanishads mentioned. It's an amazing purport. Any other comments or questions? I'll just do a plug. We have lots of Harinams today. Now, there's, because it's the 50th anniversary, Ananta Prabhu, he's going to be doing some Harinams in this area. There's also a Hare Krishna festival coming up this Friday in Bedford. We have the minibus, so if you're interested, please get in touch with me. It's a lovely festival. There's a Harinam in starting from Soho Street at 3 p.m. Amma Purana and his wife and a few others are taking part in this Harinam. And of course, there's evening Harinam as well. So if you're interested in any of those, then please join, because that's the easy way to get the mercy. If you want to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Prabhupada says, to be recognized, then we have to be preachers. You see, if you preach, then you get recognized by Krishna. So if you want to draw, you know, if you want to attract Krishna's attention, there's unlimited jivas. If you chant Hare Krishna, you're attracting his attention. But if you also spread it, then you're particularly attracting Krishna's attention, and you're more likely to get the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are some activities that we can take part in today. We also have a wonderful program, which has only been running for about 4 weeks now. That's the Saturday Love Feast. So I'll explain a little bit about this, because we want people to know about it. It's particularly meant to attract people who have no knowledge of Krishna at all, people who are not familiar with the culture. So generally, that would probably mean generally people from a Western background, or people from Africans, from Polish people. There's so many different categories. Generally, people from the Asian background, they probably know about Krishna, but you may meet people who also don't from that background. But it's particularly meant for these newcomers, that we can bring them on a path of devotion. So we have the Bhakti Lounge, and we do kirtan, class, and then there's prasadam, another kirtan and prasadam. And it's a lovely setting. We have flyers that have been printed. So anyone who's doing any kind of outreach, please take the flyers. So for example, if you take devotees on and we have the wonderful hospitality department, they can take flyers and they can give to people. The schools program, they bring a lot of children who then want to bring their parents. The teachers are interested, so we can give flyers to them. If you're out on book distribution or on Harinam Sankirtan, there are flyers as well. So in this way, we want to try and target that audience that is very difficult to bring to Krishna, isn't it? We have this it's not a problem in a sense. It's a wonderful thing that we can attract so many people from the Asian community, and they come very easily and they become Vaishnavas. But we also want to try and attract other people, and unfortunately, they look at us and think this is an Indian religion, right? So we want to focus on this. So the Sunday feast, it starts at around 4:30, finishes around 7 o'clock-ish. And we want to build this up. We're going to test it for maybe a year and try and see if we can bring people more and more to Krishna. Because one of the things we notice is if you meet someone that's interested in Krishna consciousness, you want them to have a good experience, you want them to be brought nicely to Krishna consciousness, when are you going to send them? What are you going to do? How are you going to send it to the manor? That's a great idea. But what time? How are they going to be received? Will someone be there for them? We want something that's there every week. And you know, I'd like to invite my neighbour. If I invite them at 4:30 on a Saturday afternoon, they can go to that programme and someone will look after them and talk to them and they'll get a nice experience, you see. We want something regular. Because that means that we know it's something we can rely on, you see. So that's the idea behind it. So that's also going, and because it's a new initiative, if anyone would like to help and take part in kirtan, take part in transferring prasadam or give a talks and stuff, then please get in touch with any of the team. Akandadi Prabhu is organising it. You can get in touch with him, or Radha Govinda is also quite active. You can speak to me as well. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anyone else before we yes, Prabhuji. Where's the mic? We've got two Nimpriojan. You always sit at the front. It's very good for attentiveness. I used to sit at the front. Now I kind of hang out at the back. I like to tie the curtain when the curtain's open since I started doing pujari service. So I'm always sitting over there. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yeah, it's on. Yeah, almost 30.
So I still see that the level of enthusiasm you have for Krishna consciousness.
No, it's not true. But carry on.
So I want to know how do we, and I've noticed that even in my case, when it goes beyond a certain time, that becomes more ritualistic and more ritualistic.
Yes.
You just have to do these rounds and somehow get rid of it on a daily basis. So that sparks. Sometimes missing, more often than not, it's missing after a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do we maintain that spark? How do we maintain that enthusiasm to go on Krishna? And how do we come to this level of thinking of increasing our service rather than somehow maintain where we are?
Yes, yes. Thank you. It's a very nice question. And I've had a few thoughts on that one. I recently spoke to a friend and I said, you know, I said, I'm not inspired as I used to be. And his question was very interesting, and I accept it as true, but it didn't actually solve my problem. He said, are you getting nice quality association from people that you want to, from advanced devotees that you want to associate with? And I said to him honestly, I said, look, I can give you a long list of devotees I would love to associate with, but most of them have got lots of disciples, they're really busy, they're traveling around the world, and I can't really expect to take up their time. And so I thought to myself, when I joined, and when you first join the Hare Krishna movement, it's kind of a wonderful experience because you're looking up to everyone, and everyone's a pure devotee, everyone's really advanced, and you have so much nice association that you learn so much from. But if you've been around for many years, then you have to be more clever at how you get your association. You have to be able to be open to appreciating wonderful instructions from maybe new devotees who you can vicariously enjoy. One of the most blissful things I experienced was, not just me and my friend, we were on the way to London, Harry and I, on a Thursday. And this was several years ago. We were taking some of the Brahmacharinis with us, and they were sitting on the train, and they were talking about Krishna book, and they were in ecstasy. And I was thinking, I used to be a brahmachari reading, sipping my hot milk at night and reading Krishna's pastimes in ecstasy, and I don't have the same taste for it, you know. So I enjoy it through other people. But the thing about, you mentioned the point about how do we increase and rather than maintain. That's the whole thing. That, you know, you ever heard the story that Lord Chaitanya's tree, it's like he shakes the tree just to make sure you're sincere. So we always have these trials and tribulations. We always have to go. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards. So as soon as you try and sit on what you've got, you're already going backwards, and then you're going to slip down. So we have to always increase. And there's two types of increasing. I've realized this. One type of increasing is the wrong type. It's mode of passion, extra endeavor. You think you're trying harder, but it's in the mode of passion. It's mixed with pride and determination, and you can burn out. You can get physically or mentally ill because you can't just increase, because we need to rest. You can't just, you can do a Christmas or Prabhupada marathon. You can do it for a month, but if you try and do it all year round, you might have a mental breakdown. You might be able to do it. I don't know. So that type of increasing, there's a place for that because it takes you out of your comfort zone. But there's another type of increasing, which is increasing in quality. It's not about increasing workload, because our bodies can break down. It's an increase in quality, and we have to like be honest with ourselves and go, what's the quality of my japa? Am I actually following the regular principles? Maybe I'm following on the gross level, but on the subtle platform I'm not. And we can really look into our hearts and find so much stuff that we can improve on, and we have to actually really want to do it. And that's quality increase. So we have to do quantity increase, but there's only a limit. There's only 24 hours in a day, and we have to like look after ourselves. But quality increase, that can go unlimitedly. And that's really how we have to do it. We just have to accept that we're not here just to pretend, because it's easy. No one knows what we're thinking. Krishna knows. So we can be chanting our japa, thinking all kinds of nonsense, and we don't feel any pressure because no one knows. But imagine just hypothetically, if every thought you had was broadcast and everyone saw it, how would you feel? Would you be, I wouldn't come here. I'd be like, I'm not going to show people what I think. I'd be like, because no one knows, Krishna knows, but because we think no one knows, then we don't mind it, so we're complacent. That's the problem, you see. So it's about quality and quantity. That's what I think. And we shouldn't be arrogant, because my answer to my friend, I looked at it and I thought, I'm being really arrogant there, because I'm thinking, oh, there's not enough people I can get quality association from. What does that say about me? I think I must be special, you know, because I can't find the... It's just like, maybe I join a reading group and I find the nectar there, you know. Anyway, that's what I think. Hare Krishna. Prayojana Prabhu, we'll take the last question and then we'll have prasadam. I'm here for the prasadam, ultimately. I love prasadam.
That was interesting what you said there about the forcing.
Hmm.
Yesterday, there were so many things happening. I was talking to people about Krishna, and there was a service to do on Zoom, and that took me till midnight. With another 12 rounds to do. And I thought, and I heard Prabhupada that particular morning said, before you take to the bed, you must complete your rounds for the day. So there I am at 1 o'clock, somehow or other trying to complete my rounds before I take to the rest. And because I know the next day I can't catch up. It's an ailing thing with the body. I know it's slowing mm-hmm. down, and so it's a bit of a dilemma for me to try and juggle this, but also not complete my vows.
Yes.
I find myself in a bit of a quandary, but at the same time, I'm still looking to get a rhythm in that I can think. Because the longer you go on sometimes, you're spending maybe half an hour just trying to get two rounds out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrible dilemma because of exhaustion. So maybe you can comment on that. I don't know.
It's almost the irony of it all. Sometimes our sadhana goes a bit off when we surrender more. You see, we're able to do sadhana because we're not taking on the burden of extra service. And then when we intensify our devotional service, our service squeezes out our sadhana. So then we may actually, on that particular day, we actually may be surrendering more than normal, but then our sadhana is disrupted. What I will say is this, it's an interesting dilemma. What can happen? Here's the danger. Sadhana is very, a rhythmic sadhana, sort of, what's the word, routine sadhana is very powerful in shaping our consciousness towards Krishna. And if we, say we do extra service and we break that, then there's a danger that when that extra service relaxes, we don't go back to reassume our higher standard of sadhana. So, for example, someone, I mean, I remember this example, I was busy. Okay, I'm going to start chanting while I'm driving, get a clicker, blah, blah, blah. And then when I wasn't busy, I thought, I'll just chant when I'm driving. And it just, then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. After a while, I thought, no, I can't do this. There's no justification for that. I did it in an emergency, but now I'm just kind of making it a routine. So we have to be careful that when we do extra service, it doesn't have a long-term detrimental effect on our sadhana. We have to go, if something is lost, when our, part of our sadhana is lost, then we should always resume it when the emergency is over. That's what I will say. But there's different ways to look at it, because service is service and japa is service, so it's all service. So it's a nice situation that you value which service. There's not enough, it's only 24 hours in a day, how can I do all my service? It's a nice situation to be in. It's better than being in Maya. Better than, well, I'll watch YouTube videos on some mundane subject matter. I mean, you're not doing that. It's a choice between one devotional service and another. So it's kind of, it's a good problem to have. And I'm not going to comment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kantaraj Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Haribol.